Well, I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decad, your rosary on the road. For a stormy Monday, it looks like it's coming in around where I am, and I'm not even in the heart of where it's really going to hit. And that actually brings us over to the prayer that we're going to say today. Normally, I had a couple of prayers in order, and I was going chronologically. In this particular case, because of the time sensitivity of it, I think I need to jump on this one today. We had a prayer request come in for F and his family who live in the path of the hurricane that is currently coming up into Louisiana and Mississippi in that area, following roughly the same path as Katrina did however many years ago that was. It feels like ages ago, although I was down there not too long ago, and it doesn't look like it was too long. It happened that long ago. And that indicates to me that things are not really... The infrastructure is not prepared for another storm of the magnitude of Katrina, and this hurricane looks like it may be of that magnitude. So the people that are there in the path of it, I want to pray specifically for this family, but I also want to extend our prayers to everyone who's in the path of this thing, especially in Mississippi and in the northern regions of Louisiana, which did not receive a lot of attention when Katrina came through. There's a lot of attention put on New Orleans and not a lot of attention given to any of those other areas, and they definitely need the prayers. There was a lot of damage there, and there were a lot of people that were just forgotten because they weren't in front of the TV cameras. So that's who we'll pray for today. Now, I do have a few more prayers that I've got to get through this week. I've got a little bit of a backlog I'm still working through, and I got new prayers that came in over the weekend. So feel free to write in. By all means, this is not a discouragement. Write your prayer intentions in. Anything that you have, big, little, personal, general, whatever, write it in to Daily Decad Requests at protonmail.com. That's Decad, D-E-C-A-D-E, requests in the plural, at protonmail.com. And it will be my delight to pray for you. And the minute I get your email, I add you to my daily rosary. So I'm praying for you immediately. It just takes me a little while sometimes to get everybody onto the actual... I'm saying that it has never taken me long to get people onto the actual broadcast because I've never had this particular problem before where I'm actually backed up in prayers. It's a good problem to have. I'm happy for it. But write those prayers in. I'll be delighted to pray for you. For right now, I want to turn our attention and our hearts and our minds to God, get our rosaries out, and pray for those folks that are in the path of this hurricane, and particularly for the servant of God, F., and his family. Today is a Monday, so we will be praying in Latin. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in celis, sanctificetur nomen tuum. Adveniat regnum tuum. Fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie. Et dimitti nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. Et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, Ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae.
Amen.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri, et Filio, et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio, et nunc, et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Salve Regina, Mater Misericordia, vita dulcedo et spes nostre, salve. A te clamamus exulis filii Evi, a te suspiramus gementes et flentes in hac lacrimarum vale. Ea ergo, advocata nostra, illas tuas misericordias oculus ad nos converte, et Iesum beatum fructum ventris tui nobis post hoc exilium ostende. O clemens, o pia, o dulci Virgo Maria. Ora pro nobis, Sancta Dei Genetrix, ut digni officiamur permissionibus Christi. Oremus. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Saint Louis the King, and O Blessed Mother, who, appearing as Our Lady of Prompt Succor, has taken upon thyself the patronage of Louisiana and the city of New Orleans and the people that live there. Saint Louis, who has been granted the patronage of Louisiana and all the land that once belonged to that name, we humbly beg thy intercession on behalf of the people that live in this place, whatever their state, whatever their sins, whatever their disposition. We ask that thou beggest the King of Kings, O King Louis, as you extended your hand over your kingdom in the protection and the defense and the uplifting of thy people on earth, so too let the King of Kings extend his hand of protection and defense and a lifting up of the people who, now facing death, nevertheless dwell in sin. O Lady, never have you failed to be moved by compassion for the plight of sinful fallen man. We ask thy intercession before the throne of thy Son and our God, who, being moved by this same compassion first, did incarnate himself through thee to grant us salvation. Grant now protection and salvation unto these people, who, facing death, nevertheless may persist in sins, and bring about in them conversion of heart, that all who are carried away by the storm might be carried away to greater heights, and not to the infernal regions. But that, sparing them, they might be given time to bring about their conversion and to turn to Jesus Christ and to attain membership in His kingdom. And we humbly pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who livest and reignest with God the Father and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen. For all of us tossed adrift in the storms of life, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Sacratissimo cor Jesu, miserere nobis. Sacratissimo cor Jesu, miserere nobis. Sacratissimo cor Jesu, adveniat regnum tuum. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. I'm running on something of a shorter timeline today. I don't have a whole lot of time to do everything that I want to do. Talk about everything that I want to talk about. It's because I got started a little bit later today. But nevertheless, there are some minor housekeeping things that I wanted to do before diving into the reflection that I wanted to do today. And those are, first of all, I wanted to wrap up things that we went through last week. We went through marriage, talked about a lot of... we talked a lot about marriage, and we talked about men and women. And there are a couple of videos that are out there, a couple of talks that are out there that I think would be very helpful to anyone who wants to give them a listen. The first one is both of them are Father Ripperger, and both of them are on, one is on marriage and the other one's on courtship. And actually, it was a listener, a longtime listener, who had recommended that I should probably mention that on the show. So I wanted to recommend those, and I think what I'll do is I'll hunt down the videos and post them on the Telegram. I keep saying that I'm going to put stuff on Gab, and then it never goes up on Gab, so hopefully I'll get it up on Gab, but I will include them in the post that we make where we're syndicated over on Exodus Americanus for you to take a look at. The other thing is... goodness, I've completely forgotten. There was a second thing that I wanted to talk about, and now it's completely gone. Well, let's just dive right into the reflection, then. It makes no difference. I heard a lot of wonderful sermons this past weekend. Listened in on... that was what the other thing was. There's a fantastic series that I've discovered on mental prayer. Since we do the rosary, and a major portion of the rosary is mental prayer, there's a 7-part series, and it's ongoing. On YouTube, that Bishop Sanborn does. Now, Bishop Sanborn's one of the Sedevacantists, all of that. Take what he says about ecclesiology with a grain of salt. But generally speaking, the rest of his theology is pretty sound. And he's got this excellent series on mental prayer and its place in the church that is really worth looking at, as long as we're talking about videos that you should go and watch. That was the other thing I wanted to mention. There, I knew it would come back to me. Now, turning to what I had on my mind today, I've heard some wonderful sermons over the weekend. I listened to Bishop, I generally listen to Bishop Sanborn. He wasn't the one that gave the sermon this time. It was Father Eldracker instead, down there at the SETI seminary in Florida. And I listened to Father Robinson with the SSPX. He also gave an excellent sermon, and I heard a couple of others as I went through my YouTube list and, of course, my own priest. And all of them talked about a subject that we've touched on here quite a lot, which is how much we worry about tomorrow and how important it is to seek first the kingdom of God. And actually, that was the subject that was the title that I gave to the talk we did on Friday, which I thought was pretty interesting. I did not realize that this gospel was coming up. That took me completely by surprise. But one of the sermons that I listened to didn't talk about the gospel at all. And it took me even more by surprise. It talked about the feast that we just celebrated. And the feast that we just celebrated on Sunday was the feast of the beheading of St. John the Baptist. And it struck me because the way that he was spoken of in the sermon, St. John the Baptist is considered a martyr for the defense of one particular institution and sacrament, which is that of marriage. So it was a very funny way to wrap up that week. I did not realize that he was generally considered this way. But he did end up being martyred because of the defense of marriage and the attack on Herodias and Herod Agrippa, both of whom were... they're not Agrippa. This is Herod... I think it's Herod Antipas. It's one of the Herods. It's the Herod that mocked Christ and sent him back to Pilate to be crucified. But I can't remember whether that was Herod Agrippa, known as Herod the Tetrarch, or not. I believe it was. Anyway, he went to Rome and stole his brother Philip's wife, Herodias. Both of them divorced the spouses that they were currently married to, and Herodias had even produced many children for Philip, and attempted to wed one another, which was against the Jewish law, even Jewish law that would have permitted, Hebrew law, I should say, not Jewish law, Hebrew law. It was against Hebrew law. And St. John the Baptist occupied his latter days, once Christ had revealed himself, with the condemning of sin where he saw it and the calling for repentance. And Herod was among those who was subject to this critique. And St. John was ultimately put to death for speaking truth to power. That's a wonderful phrase, isn't it? We hear that quite a lot, speaking truth to power. It struck me because John found himself in a very dangerous position. He was attempting to speak truth to power, and I'm going to keep using that phrase, even though I know the people that use it nowadays don't actually do this, but he was doing what good men and prophets have done throughout the ages. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, all of them have all preached to the kings about their evil. And that's a very dangerous prospect when you're dealing with these Asiatic and heathen despots, as Herod was. And it struck me that that's sort of a difference that we see when we talk about the various civilizations of the world. That in the East, you have an Asiatic despot. You cannot speak truth to his power. He'll simply put you to death. But in Europe, in Christian Europe in particular, but this was true before Christianity came to Europe, there was always a sort of place for one who spoke truth to power. We had a name for that person. They're called a fool. or a jester, or what have you. But they were a fixture in European court life in both petty kingdoms and in major kingdoms. There was always a person who... I suppose nowadays, if we were to look at them, it would be hard to tell if they had a sort of mental disability or if they were autistic or what have you, but they didn't have a filter. They simply spoke what they saw, and sometimes it was absurd, and sometimes there was great truth hidden in it, and kings kept them around explicitly because so often they saw things that other people were afraid to see or afraid to admit. And it gave a clarity of vision to the king to see where his faults might lie. No one else could point out the king's faults, but he had this one person set aside almost explicitly for that purpose. They could critique the king, mock him, deride him, keep him humble before the Lord. And eventually, this function went away and just vanished altogether. It ceased to exist. And you had despot-like inequalities return, you had absolute monarchy rise, you had all of that come into being, and ultimately what happened was the kings of Europe lost their conscience. All of us have a fool within us. We are the fools. And we have a conscience to accuse us and to mock us and to deride us. Where we may not hear others' criticism, we hear our own more easily. And so in our spiritual life, we have an option over ourselves. We can either be the Asiatic despot, the heathen tyrant, or we could be the Christian king in the court of our soul. And it struck me that what we all have a John the Baptist within us. We all have a St. John Chrysostom got in trouble for the same thing. He attacked the vanity and foul living of the Byzantine Empress, and she exiled him. He was exiled 3 times, died in exile. And he's often robed in the robes of a martyr because he died in exile. The conditions of the exile were so harsh on him as an old man. And that was the Byzantine Empress. That was a purportedly Christian empress who had done that. Once again, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, or pointed out where she sinned, at least. And St. John, both St. Johns, suffered at the hands of a vindictive queen because they pointed out where the sin resided there. And all of us have, you know, speaking of, we talked about that Father Ripperker talk on effeminacy. Very briefly, my wife and I had watched that. All of us have this sort of effeminate quality within ourselves. It's a fallenness. You know, it's a tendency towards our derivative rather than towards our origin, driving away from God rather than toward Him. And we can control that. We have a St. John the Baptist in all of us. We have a St. John Chrysostom in all of us. It's called our conscience. And we can accuse ourselves like they do and hear them and be converted. And experience that metanoia, that turning away from our sins and from ourselves and turning towards God. Like the medieval king, we can choose to be the Asiatic despot, or we can choose to be the Christian king who gives ear to his conscience whenever he speaks. And sometimes the conscience accuses us in excess of what we need. That's what you have, a scrupulous conscience. And sometimes the conscience needs to be trained to speak up a little bit more. But those things come from the amount of ear that we give to our conscience and how much fear we force our conscience to live in a manner of speaking. And obviously, your conscience is not a separate entity within you, but how afraid are we to criticize ourselves? How much does our pride put ourselves in fear of ourselves? And so it's a lesson that we learn from observing St. John the Baptist. Not so much. Now, it's important to speak truth to power in the real world. It's important to be witnesses to Christ in the real world. But there's an inner teaching that exists here as well. There's an interior reform that could be taking place inside of us as well. And really should be taking place before we try to change anything about the world. To listen to the John the Baptist within us, who's constantly telling us to turn away from our sin and repent and turn towards Christ. To listen to the St. John Chrysostom within us, for our conscience is golden-mouthed, like St. John Chrysostom. And to always strive to be the Christian king who gives ear to those that critique him in humility, because it allows him to do his job of more thoroughly exalting God and drawing those for whom he is responsible towards the throne of the King of Kings. And so that's my prayer today, is that all of us will give ear to the fool, the jester, of the court of our spiritual soul, and will choose the Christian kingship over the Asiatic tyranny of the devil. And thereby, in imitation of the King of Kings, or rather, in imitation of our ancestors, the kings, Christian kings, we will grant a throne in our souls to the King of Kings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.